what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life. But if you want to win a Josh McDowell book, you have to play. Wow. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. But if you're going to fill your brain with mush by listening to the media, you're going to have to pray. See how the last one was play? This one is pray. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because if you want to understand the whole show, you'll have to stay. See how we did that? Play, pray, stay. Yeah, it took me about 3 minutes. Yes. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that thingy. So, you know, every once in a while we have this sound, and it comes from an old rapper, and it's really cool, and it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So I got a question for you along those same lines. Ready? What do we need to do? This actually comes from one of his songs. Just to make it today. What do you need to do? Just to make it today. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Just give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And let me do that again because I just want you to know that when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, that's like diving into a pool at the end of a sizzling day in the state of Texas.
I'll take it, Dave.
Yeah. It might not be too bad today or yesterday, but day before it's kind of hot, and it's going to get a little hotter. And I know some of you love the heat. Bless you. And some of you are like,
I thank God for air conditioning.
I get it, but that's why it's a cooling off refreshing, and that's what it's like when you dive in a pool on a hot day. That's what it's like to talk to Dynamite D. So you can call us. You can also text us. Yeah, during the show. It's kind of fun. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice coming now.
214-210-8483.
There you go as well. You can send an email, David, at hemusincrease.org. D-A-V-I-D, not anti-disestablishmentarianism, but just David at hemusincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website. Don't forget, it's a week from Sunday, folks. Murphy Road Baptist Church meets David Spoon. Wow. You are welcome to attend. The information is on the website. Just check it all out. Plus, we still have a contest, so there's a sound coming, so you better listen, because I'm not telling you what it is, but you got to pay attention. And on the website is a place to give, and we like the giving because, we like the giving because we love doing the show. And if you want us to keep doing the show, we need your help. Thank you, by the way, for everybody that has given every time. The Lord bless you 1,000-fold. I wish he'd bless you 10,000-fold. But then you'd also have to give again. All right, check out the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Okay. And today's clue. You ready for today's clue? Are you ready? All right. You sure? You got it? You ready? Here we go. Pogo stick. Pogo stick. That's what I'm going to go with on that one. Pogo stick. So for those that are playing along on the website, there's the clues. This will be the fifth clue that's on there, I believe. You want to we'll cover that next week. And then, okay, and then, listen to me, and then the first person who's able to answer seven clues, so the last two we're not going to put on the website because you have to listen, the first person who emails, texts, or calls in will win the Josh McDowell book, which is on the website. Shows you there on the website. So you have that opportunity to do that as well. We hope and pray that this stuff is fun for you. Besides, getting a book like that, that's cool. And even if you don't get the book or you're playing along, it's fun. You know, it's just kind of fun to do stuff like that. We are still in the month of June, as far as I can tell, right? Still June? I think so. So don't forget June buddies. That's important. Praying for one another, somebody you hear on a fill, something that you hear that's going on, somebody that calls in, something that we talk about, somebody that's mentioned, somebody that's mentioned about somebody that's mentioned about somebody that's mentioned. And you just take that person on, you pray for them, you bless them, ask the Lord to watch over them. That's the way you always want to do it. If you're just not sure who to take on there, you always have Dynamite D, you always have Jennifer, who needs prayers just like all of us, going through the same struggles we go through in the warfare, and then especially Don, who I would never be in a bazillion years because I just wouldn't want the warfare level he goes through. But I bless him each and every day and pray that you guys would do the very same. That's what you want to do. In the meantime, don't forget to pray for lost family members, people that you know that are connected to your family that need it. They don't need to know about Jesus. They need to know Jesus. Get it? All right. I'm kind of excited to teach this. I don't know if you can tell. I don't know what it is. It's just those things. Here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. So I'm going to give you, in this portion we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you a little theology inserted in here. Uh-oh. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, beloved, since we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that defiles body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Da-da-da! How's that sound?
Dave, why did I study that this morning?
I don't know. I think The Lord is trying to tell you something. Ah! Or everybody else something. All right, using his new study Bible. That's pretty good. Good for you, brother.
I love it, Dave. Thank you for that, too.
First of all, therefore, beloved. So we already know the word therefore means what? It's conclusionary, because it has to do with the prior stuff that's being talked about. And the prior stuff that's being talked about really has to do with this incredible connection to the promises that are made by God. So the therefore is dealing with chapter 6, and it's dealing with chapter 5, but there's a lot of it that's dealing with, hey, even when you're struggling, the Lord is with you. Remember that about 2 weeks ago, we talked about the other side of the coin. So as Paul was talking about it, he'd say, boy, we're going through a hard time, but we've never been abandoned. We're going through this, but it's never forsaken. We're going through this, but we're never alone. He goes through that whole thing. So what he's referring to in chapter 7, verse 1, is all that stuff, that God is always there for us. He's always committed to us. There's always another side to the coin, as you can tell. Just looking at the life of Job that we've studied pretty intensely, you understand that Job saw one side, but there's another side. And what he's doing is reminding people, hey, there's another side. And let's, therefore, because of that, we have these incredible promises, these great things that God has committed. He'll never forsake you. He'll never give up on you. Listen to that. Some of you think, I've done it now. I've done it now. I've sinned so bad, he will not even. No, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Dave, is this 1 Corinthians or 2?
2 Corinthians.
Okay, 2. I thought you said 1.
No, 2 Corinthians. Okay, so you were only off by a 1. Okay. So 2 Corinthians 7:1. So sorry about that, brother. So here's what you got to catch. Therefore, behold, since we have these promises, and they're promises that God has committed to, he's never going to give up on you. He says, the scripture says, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that defiles us, body and spirit. So here you have a very interesting theological input. So I want to give it to you real fast. Some people think that the body and spirit refer to a separate element of the body and of the spirit. That would technically be wrong, because oftentimes in scripture, when the phrase body and spirit are mentioned in a combination format like this, it means the whole person, the inward person and the outward person. In other words, your born-again spirit doesn't need to be cleansed because it's born again and purified unto the Lord. It's that's not the defiled spirit that's in you. It's the old inside of you. What is amazing about this, and I'm just going to tell you, you just got to understand it, it does come from the word pneuma, which is the 4151 in Strong's Concordance, but every commentator, it's amazing. When you get 20 commentators to agree on anything, you just want to have a party. It's like, really? They all agree? Is that? Every one of them connects this to the spirit part of the man that's the old man that's really your soul more than the spirit, although the word chosen is spirit. The idea behind this is that we got to cleanse ourselves from everything inside and out. Everything inside and out of us. Now, what that means is that everything that we say, think, and do has got to be yielded to the Lord. We'll get to the perfecting holiness in a minute, but I want you to catch this, and this is just a brilliant pickup. Ready? We are supposed to purify ourselves from anything that contaminates our life. It's very simple. Take a glass of water, pure water, as pure as it can get, best as you understand, and put anything in it but water, and it is no longer pure water. There you go. So as the Lord lives in you, add anything in there that's not him, and you just contaminate it. I'm just telling you, anything that's contrary to God in any capacity. And then it says this, or what it says is, let us cleanse ourselves. What does that mean? Let us cleanse ourselves. Well, this is what it means. It's a conscious, deliberate decision to pursue purifications. I mean, it's just like you choose. And so what people can't stand is, well, no, I said yes to Jesus. I don't want to have to work on anything. See, yeah. That's really, I love it, okay? You will never earn salvation by working on it. So don't go that direction. But you will insult God if you receive his gift and then just flaunt it in his face and decide not to utilize his gift. And his gift is giving you this righteousness, and he wants you in reciprocation to pursue him. In pursuing him, you find out that there's purification, because as you get closer to the Lord, you start to see a little more of the yuck in you, and you bring it before the Lord, and you ask him to take it out piece by piece by piece by piece by piece. Usually it happens piece by piece by piece. Can happen all at once, but in the majority of it is we grow up in the Lord. Let's just be honest about it. And in that process, we have to make this decision to consciously remove ourselves from things that are polluting us in our walk with God. I don't care what it is. Just nothing can be poured in that is contrary to who he is. So if that's social life, and that's, you know, the things that you do or things you allow, and it's hurting you, stop it. You think, well, I don't want to stop it. Okay, but that's a decision then that you make not to. Just remember that. No, you'll still be saved, but you're messing up a great opportunity to spend eternity with God. It's true. Some people say, I just want to get in. You know, it's like, I get it. I understand. But I want to get in. I'd like to have a rocking chair up there. Thank you.
I don't want to get in by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah, we will technically get in by the skin of teeth. That's the irony of it all. But if you really love him, you just want to start drawing closer to him now. You're not trying to get the best out of the flesh life and then you go live in the eternal life. That's called greasy grace. Don't do that. Come on, All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Isaiah chapter 63, verse 8 through 9 says this. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed. So I want to make sure you understand, we've talked about this before, you've heard some of my testimony. If you want to really get a better handle on my testimony, I'll shamelessly plug the Broken for His Glory book, which contains the testimony, but you can get it for free if you do it through Kindle, and then otherwise it's like $7 or something. Oh, that's not very much. It's a kind of a fascinating journey on becoming saved and then going through bad churches or a bad church and then coming back into good church. Right? That's not always easy to do. One of the big premises of the book and of my entire Christian journey is a passage like this, which says, he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. And in all their distress, he too was distressed. I think it's important for you and I to understand the level to which God has put himself or placed himself. He's not incomplete without us in the theological term that God can exist completely independently and doesn't need us, but he bears with us or connects to us in such a way that he feels with us. And so I think it's important for you and I to grasp that when Paul was on the road to Damascus and then the Lord appears to him, right? And we've talked about this before, you know, knocks him off his donkey and blinds him, okay? Now you just have to imagine you're on a donkey. Bam-o, you're on the ground, okay? Okay, not on a comfy table or a comfy chair or a comfy bed, on the ground, and you're blind. So this is a real wake-up call. And then Jesus says to him, Saul, before he becomes Paul, you know, why are you persecuting me? And what does Saul say? He says, who are you? Right? Because this is like, you know, this is, you know, outer limits stuff right here. And then Jesus goes, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But the irony behind that is that Jesus made the identification with the church because Saul was persecuting the church. But Jesus goes, I'm the one you're persecuting. Now see how he connects himself to the people.
Sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes praise the Lord.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Get ready for your first trivia question. This is a good one. You guys should know this. Very confident you'll know this, actually. What type of tree did Jesus cause to wither when he cursed it? What kind of tree slash bush slash plant? Okay. You know exactly what I'm talking about. What kind of tree, keep it in the simplistic form, did Jesus curse and wither? What kind of tree was that? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, just in lieu of time, we'll probably end up doing our DNA in the next whatever time because we're just running out of time because I'm just getting more and more long-winded. The older I get, the more long-winded I become. Isn't that terrible? Well, you might not think it is, but I have a wife that will tell you otherwise. Ah-ha-ha. Here we go. Somebody's ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, Knock, knock. This person is not knocking down.
Okay, you got to turn your radio down, bro.
All right. It's a, yeah. The answer is F-I-G.
That is correct, Amundo! Figaroonie. I'll tell you what, Joanne and Cordelia wrote Figgy.
No, okay. I'm glad they didn't write a piggy.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Non-kosher, huh?
Yep, that's right. Good job there, buddy. Good job.
I also want to share one thought. During the break, you were sharing like the passage where Jesus knocked Paul down and make him, Saul down and say, hey, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And you mentioned that Jesus related himself as a church. At the same time, maybe that was the Holy Spirit prompted that thought in my heart. Like as Jesus said, the church is his bride, and the bride and groom are one flesh. So that's the thought there.
That is exactly correct. So I'll give you a great example, which I think you can totally understand, and most people can. That is, and I'll just say it this way, but I'll say it without being overly arrogant, just semi-arrogant. So I'm going to acknowledge that. If you say or do anything to my wife, you did it to me, and I will respond. So that's just, and if that's true on a human level, how much more for he who is perfectly righteous, who laid himself down? So there is a absolute oneness in that process. So that's a good theology. Good job.
Thank you. And thank you for blessing all of us with your faithful service to the Lord and promoting the kingdom through your program and through your goofiness. You're amazing, David. You've been a blessing to me. And as this month of June as a prayer partner, so I'm going to keep praying for the person who fix your windshield and for him and for his wife.
Cool.
So thank you for giving us this challenge.
You got it, brother. Love you. Love you in the Lord, man.
Love you too.
All right. God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. Let me get into this text. So that was good. Fig. Now, I want to point out that, of course, Eric had to point in after Joanne and Cordelia did the figgy. He had to come in with the Newton.
Pretty good.
Okay, let's move on. So in this text, I want you to just to catch this because I don't want you to get caught up in this and I don't want it to be legalistic because, you know, I really just hate that. In that portion we're talking about, therefore, beloved, since we have these promises, 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves, our decision, from everything that defiles body and spirit, everything in and out, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That perfecting holiness is not the way that we get saved. It's a result of being saved that inside of us we have this desire to do it right, be it right, think it right, say it right before the Lord. So it's important to understand that. But another catch on this and another thing that a commentator brought up is it's also important to understand that you can overcome. In other words, this isn't just leaving you there going, okay, yeah, see ya, bye. It's telling you, no, you can do this. That's why the scripture's there, because it's accomplishable. And every time you think you're dealing with something, and I go through this too, and you think it's just too big or too powerful for me, that's just your Goliath. Well, guess what? David killed Goliath. That's the reality. So it's not more stronger than you or more powerful than you. Now let's go to verse 2, which is a replay on something Paul already said. This is why I love this stuff. So Paul says this to multiple churches. He says it again. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:2. Make room for us in your hearts. We've wronged no one. We've corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. I don't say this to condemn you. I've said before that, so you occupy our hearts, that we live and die together with you. This is so good. We live or die. To a degree, you can understand that when you hear somebody in the show has something victorious happen, you live. You're like, ah, cool. Like we heard about Rosalind, like, yeah, cool. Yay, right? That's part of living with one another and dying with one another when you hear somebody's really hurting. That's what he's talking about. And what he does tell them is, look, we haven't wronged you. We haven't corrupted anybody. We haven't exploited anybody. right? If we asked you to give and told you that you would, you know, never be penniless and then gave you a penny in acrylic, that would be exploiting you. We won't do that. We won't do that because it's just weird. That would cost a lot more than put a penny in acrylic. It's a lot easier to write an email and give you a receipt. Here's my point. My point is that nobody, we're not trying to hurt one another. We're trying to help one another. We're trying to bless one another. And if we can get it right, and I mean right, before the Lord, a part of you, not all of you, but a part of you is up and down, lives and dies with the blessing and the favor and the hurting of others. It functions together, like an actual family. And then Paul concludes, as great is my confidence in you, great is my pride in you. Dave, pride is bad. Not this pride. This is a good pride. You think it's a good pride? Yeah, his pride is not technically even in himself. It's in others. And I'm filled with encouragement. In all our troubles, my joy overflows. Why? Because they're doing good. And so I can be going through it, and I do go through it. And then sometimes I get a email or a text or somebody leaves a message or something, and they're just like, oh, this blessed me and this really helped me and so on and so forth. Guess what? My spirit is completely revived. Guess what? That applies to everybody. Not just me. It's all of us. Live or die with one another, for one another, because that's what he wants us to do towards one another. Okay, take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When Joshua was trying to figure out, you know, the Lord and his decision for the Lord, and he was doing pretty good and had good training, he made a decision to follow the Lord. Then he made a decision that he wanted to really commit to devotions. I told him I was proud of him for that. That's his own decision. He has to make that call. Nobody can choose that. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and this is one of the most bizarre statements. You're never going to hear a more bizarre statement. I hope this gets on the radio. You know, you can be born and raised Jewish. You can be born and raised Italian. You can be born and raised in many different things, but you can't be born a Christian. Can't do it. Because you have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There's no being born a Christian. That doesn't work. That's a lie. You have to make a choice, an individual choice. Your 15 generations of your family could be Christians. When you're born, that does not make you a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a Christian. You understand that difference? It was just something that dawned on me. Like, you know, people don't talk that way. Well, he was born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. Plenty of murderers came out of Christian families. That doesn't mean a thing. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to it, I had to share that because that thought that just really struck me as odd. But the power of our words is so noticeable. And Jesus says, hey, you know, I got one for you. By your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. So my question to pose is why? That's so forceful and brutal. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew, you guys like that one, huh? I like that. I can tell below. I like that. Matthew chapter 15. Here's the reason. Verse 18. Matthew 15, 18 says this. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned, is because your words reveal what's in your heart. And you will know, you can listen to other people and know by their speech. And I'm not even talking about coarse language. I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not even talking about any of that. I'm not even necessarily talking about negative speech. I'm talking about you will know a person's heart by what they say.
The David Spoon Experience.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.